Welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. Tonight, you'll hear from Brother Horace Stroud. Brother Stroud is a repeat defender on this program. He's not new. Brother Stroud is a sound and capable and powerful gospel preacher. Tonight, he'll be speaking on the subject, What Must I Do to Be Saved? At this time, I present to you Brother Horace Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. I also want to thank Brother Wiggins for the prayer. Those are my co-hosts that work along with me, and also for our host, Brother Tommy Brooks. Want to welcome each of you tonight to this call, and I want to thank you also for making time in your schedules, your busy schedules, to be on the call tonight. Want to thank those of the Lord's Church that are with us, and as Brother Flounder mentioned, those who we consider our VIPs, are very important persons. Those have been that have been invited by someone to get on the call tonight. On tonight, I want to look at what I consider the most important question that is asked in the Bible, as well as the most important question in the world today. And that should be, what must I do to be saved? Others may say, what do I have to do to go to heaven? Well, there are initial steps that one must take in order to please God. And so we want to look at our lesson text on tonight from Acts chapter 16. As Brother Flounder mentioned, I would encourage you to write the scriptures down and to take notes. And if you're able to follow along with me as I read from the Bible, the Word of God. I'll begin in Acts chapter 16, and I'll begin at verse number 22, which is the imprisonment of the Apostle Paul and Silas. I want to just say from the offset that on tonight, I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. The reason for that, because sometimes in reading the King James Version, for those that may not be as familiar with the Bible, sometimes some of the words can be confusing. So I want to make my message as simple as possible to those that are hearing. And so tonight, again, we're looking at the question, what must I do to be saved, as you'll find written in the text tonight. In Acts chapter 16, and the verse is number 22, the Bible reads, the crowd joined in an attack against them being Paul and Silas, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. Verse 23, when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, that being the jailer, verse 24, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison, and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now about midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Verse 27, when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself. For we are all here. And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And verse 30 is our text for tonight. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The Apostle Paul and Silas were put into prison, and a jailer was commanded to guard them securely so that they could not escape. I would like to suggest that every person who reaches the age of accountability, where they are accountable for their actions, becomes a prisoner themselves to and in this world. How so, one may ask? We become spiritually incarcerated when we violate the law of God. And so I want to share with us that understanding from the Bible, and I'll show in the text how one becomes a prisoner and how one is allowed through the Word of God to change their situation. In 1 John chapter 3 and the verses number 4, the Bible says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." By definition, that lawlessness means having no law from God or not obeying the law of God. And one may ask, well, does that include me? Well, yes, it includes me as well as you, because in Romans chapter 3, and the verse is number 23, the Bible records, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So everyone, as I stated, becomes spiritually incarcerated because we all have sinned against the will or the law of God. So I want to share what is the consequences of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, and the verse is number 21, "Then he," being Jesus, "said again to them, I am going away, and you will look for me and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So that means to us, if a person dies in their sin, Jesus said, "Where I am going," which is back to heaven, Jesus said, "You cannot come." Secondly, in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and the verse is number 8, the Bible reads, "In flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." So notice now, God will deal out retribution, a punishment on two sets of individuals, and according to the Bible in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And again, those are individuals who have reached the age of accountability, that they are accountable for their actions. However, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, and some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So we find from the Word of God that God is patient toward us. God does not want anyone to be lost, not willing for any to perish. However, everyone must come to repentance. And having said that, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah the prophet recognized something that we all should recognize in our life, where he said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah realized that the way of a man spiritually is not in him. No man is born and has the spirit in him. He said, it is not in a man that walketh, or woman that walketh, to direct his steps. He needs guidance from spiritual hardness in their walk. And so Jesus also, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, and the verse is number 33, the Bible says, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So Jesus prioritized for us what ought to be the most important thing in life, because Jesus said, seek it first. And that is the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And so when God recognized in Genesis that man has sinned, God had a plan for man. In John chapter 3, and the verse is number 16, the Bible says, reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God offers through the Holy Bible the two major reasons for it being written, and that is the glorification of God and the salvation of man through Jesus Christ. Note what the Bible says about the written Bible. In John chapter 20, and the verse is number 30 and 31, the Bible, John wrote, so then, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. None of us have seen Jesus. However, those that desire to be spiritual believe the Bible and believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived on this earth. Why? Because we can read about it in the Bible. We are to believe those things that are written in the Holy Word of God. And so I had mentioned earlier from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 that God would deal out punishment on those that don't know him, and also those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So what is the meaning of obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. In Romans chapter 1, and the verse is number 16, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the word saved and salvation basically is the same meaning, one being saved being the verb, salvation being the noun, the meaning of which is spiritual deliverance from one's previous sins granted by God. So the gospel is the saving instrument that God has chosen for mankind to be saved. And what is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the verse is beginning at verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Now I will make known to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received," Paul wrote, "that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." So there are three facts of the gospel. The first being that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Secondly, and that he was buried. And thirdly, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So one must believe those facts of the Bible, that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day, never to die again. However, while he suffered on that cross, they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet while he was on the cross. The Bible records in John chapter 19 and verse number 34, "Yet one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." So when Christ died, blood and water were the two elements that were present when Christ died on the cross. And so in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, when we talk about the jailer asked, "What must I do?" Romans 6 and 3 says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" And so he's talking about water baptism, one being baptized in water. And so in verse number 4 of Romans 6, the Bible says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life." So one must be baptized in water, and by faith, the blood of Christ is there to cleanse one of all your sins. And that's why Paul said we are baptized into Christ's death. In his death, two elements were there, blood and water. We today get in the water, and by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water to cleanse man of his sin. And that's why Jesus said when Nicodemus came to him by night in John chapter number 3, the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, verse number 2, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, note Jesus responded and said to him, truly, truly, I say unto you, and unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that which Jesus told us to seek first, Jesus now tells Nicodemus that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. And Nicodemus said to him in verse 4, how can a person be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we are born by water and through the instruction of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And just like before a birth is done here physically, we know that a woman's water must break before birth occurs. And the same thing spiritually, one must enter, break the water at the instruction of the Spirit, and in order for him to enter into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus also points out that confession must be made of him. He said in Matthew chapter 10 and the verse is number 32, therefore, everyone who confesses me before people, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. So we find that those steps that one must take, according to the Bible, we find that one must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. One must believe that which he hears. One must repent of their sins, and one must confess Christ to be the Son of God before baptism takes place. So let's go back to our original text and let's just read the scriptures and see the things that the jailer did in order to be saved. He asked the question again in verse number 30, sir, what must I do to be saved? He realized it was something that he had to do. And so the Bible tells us of his conversion to Christ. In verse 31, the Bible says, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be, notice now, saved, you and your household. So the word save again means spiritual deliverance from one's previous sin that is granted based on the conditions God has given. So the jailer realized that he had sinned and he wanted to be saved from his sin. Not only him, but his whole household. And the Bible says in verse number 32, and they spoke the word of God, the gospel of Christ, to him together with all who were in his house. So it's not enough just for me to be saved. I want my entire family saved. But however, they need to hear and obey the word of God for themselves. And so the Bible says, so we see in verse 31, we see the word believe. And he believed on what was taught to him, the word of God, specifically the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So we see now one must hear the gospel, one must believe the gospel. And then we see in verse number 33 the repentance made by the jailer, because the Bible says he took them, the same man that was guarding them and keeping them in prison. The Bible says, and he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. This shows the jailer repentance. Remember, they had been beaten with rods. So now the jailer shows a repentant heart. He washes their wounds. And the Bible says after that, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his house. So we see now that one has to hear the gospel of Christ. One must believe it. One must repent of their sins. We already said that Jesus said that confession of him must be made. You'll find it also written in Acts 8:37. Before the eunuch was baptized, he said, "Sirs, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That confession is made prior to one's baptism. And so the jailer was baptized. And the Bible says in verse 34, and he brought them into his house and set food before them and was overjoyed since he had become a believer in God together with his whole household. So believing, as we said in in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, belief is not something that I just hear, but I must be respondent or obedient to the things that I am taught. And so we find, as I move to a close, the jailer became a Christian and was added to the church of Christ according to the Bible. In Acts chapter 11, and the verse is 26, the Bible reads, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So we find that those that were Christians, they were called Christians. Just a teaching point here. In the Old Testament, when someone was from a place, they would put I-T-E-S behind where they were from or who they belonged to, where you find Israelites, Moabites. However, even in this country, in these United States, we put I-A-N-S behind where we're from. We are Houstonians. I'm from Florida. I am a Floridian. There are Californians. So we find that even today, we use foundations or teaching from the Bible even in our everyday walk of life. So they were called Christians because they belong to Christ. We are called Houstonians because we are from Houston, as those from Louisiana will be called Louisianians, if I'm pronouncing it properly. So it tells where the person is from. So when you belong to Christ and you obey Christ and become a child of God, a brother or sister of Christ, you are called a Christian as they were back then in Acts chapter 11 and the verses number 26. And then in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. And so churches of Christ is a descriptive phrase. It describes who the church belongs to. It belongs to Christ because according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he purchased the church with the blood that he shared on the cross. And so my final text tonight about being saved, the Bible says in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. That scripture tells me that all those that are saved are added to the church. The church does not belong to man. It belongs to Christ. He purchased it with his own blood. You have any questions, as Brother Flonder said tonight, you can reach out to the email address he gave. However, if you would like to reach out to me personally, you can text me. My number is 281-731-9664. Why is that important? Because the most important thing you have is your soul. As with those that are spiritually incarcerated, as Jesus said, if you die in your sins, that is a lifetime eternal sentence. I don't want no one to die in that state. God doesn't want anyone. That's why Peter said, God wants everyone, not willing that any should perish, but that everybody will come to repentance. You must repent, turn to God, obey the gospel, and be baptized for your sin, added to the church, and then, as a babe, grow up in the Lord and live faithfully. I thank you tonight for your listening ear.